Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, and welcome to this Saturday edition of the Reformation News, where I, your brother in Christ, your servant in the Lord, radio reformer, am in studio to present proposition number 63. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, we are diligent in this assignment. We are on the air each and every day, except Tuesdays and Fridays, and that only because we have Sister Marie coming in on Tuesdays doing the End Time News Report, and she comes in on Friday and does her broadcast. So other than Tuesday and Fridays, we're faithfully here putting out these propositions. Now, again, this is proposition number 63, and as of yet, we have not heard from any single member of the Joint College of African American Bishops. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis and his men and women is the number 646-564-9730. Now, we've been dealing with the propositions, dealing with this thing called insignia. Insignia is another word, it's a Roman Catholic word for accessories. Accessories that the bishops wear, with the vestments. Now, what are some of these accessories that we've already covered? Well, the Roman Catholic Church tells us that the insignia are the mitre, the pointy hat, the gloves. Yes, bishops are encouraged to wear gloves, even when it's not cold, even when it's not wintertime, they're encouraged to wear gloves. So you have the mitre, you have the gloves, you have the episcopal ring, the bishop's ring. You have the pectoral cross, which we have been spending quite a bit of time on. And then, of course, you have the other insignia that I will start mentioning tomorrow. So we have stopped and we've been talking about this particular insignia called the pectoral cross. And we've been dealing with this item since proposition number 60. So we dealt proposition 60 to the pectoral cross. We've use Proposition 61 to talk about the pectoral cross. We've used Proposition 62 to talk about the pectoral cross. And today we end with the pectoral cross with Proposition 63. So this is one insignia. This is one item. This is one accessory that we have talked about in four propositions. And this will be the last dealing with the pectoral cross. And it reads like this. The purchasing of an insignia, such as the gold pectoral cross, makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites. We've dealt with that extensively. We've proven how J. Delano Ellis and his group of bishops from the Joint College are the grandest of hypocrites because Jesus said that you should carry your cross, not wear your cross. Carry, not wear. Wearing a cross does nothing for the Christian disciple, does nothing. Jesus mandated that we carry a cross, not wear them. Makes us the grandest of hypocrites who render Christ lip service. And why lip service? Well, because J. Delano Ellis said, God forbid that we should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. And we know that that's just lip service. He doesn't mean it. And why is it that they render Christ lip service as they wear this pectoral cross? Because they lay aside, as Jesus said, they lay aside the commandment of God. They lay aside the canon of Scripture. They lay aside the one true rule of faith. They put that down. They put down the word of God. They abandon the word of God. They turn their backs on the word of God. And they lay hold of the tradition of men. Now, why is it that they lay hold of the tradition of men? Well, everything J. Delano Ellis has written in the book, the little book entitled The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, all of that is man-made commandments. Everything in the book about the scarlet slippers and the vestments and the length of the chain and the manicures and the pantyhose and the matching colors, all that cannot be found in the Bible. All that gibberish, all of it, every single bit of it is the commandments and the traditions of men. Now, why is it that they lay aside the commandments of God and they take up the traditions of men? Well, it says, because they covet the things of this world. Let me read again proposition number 63. The purchasing of an insignia, such as the gold pectoral cross, makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites. We cover that. Who render Christ lip service, we've covered that. Because they lay aside the commandments of God and lay hold of the traditions of men, we've covered that. Because, this is new now, because they covet the things of this world. That we haven't covered. And all that I've said, every bit of what has been said already and we've covered, comes out of Isaiah 29:13, Matthew 15, verse 7 through 9, and Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. Now, the one scripture that we're going to introduce in addition to the Isaiah, Matthew, and Mark scripture, this new scripture is Ezekiel 33, verse 1. So let me read to you Ezekiel 33, verse 1. And here God is speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. And God says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh. Now, what is God saying to Ezekiel? Listen, these people love to come to church, is what God, he says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh. The people love to come to church to hear the prophet. They love to come to church to hear what thus saith the Lord. They love to come to church. They come to thee, Ezekiel. These people, my people, they come unto thee as people cometh, as is the norm for people to show up on Sunday. They just show up. And in Ezekiel's case, they were showing up on the Sabbath. God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, they're just playing church. These people are just playing church. Are you listening to me, Mr. Ellis? Are you listening, sir? The number here is Mr. Ellis, for you to call in, 646-564-9730. 646-564-9730. Now, the Lord says to the prophet Ezekiel, they come unto thee as the people cometh. This is a routine for them, Ezekiel. It's a routine. They come to you because it's already part of their habit to come to the house of God to hear what thus saith the Lord. They come. But he goes on to say, and they sit before thee as my people. They take their seats. They sit in the pews. As my people. They're coming to you because they know that you're my prophet. They come and they sit by you. They sit at your feet to hear what thus saith the Lord, as my people would. Does that sound familiar, Mr. J. Delano Ellis? Does it sound familiar? The Lord goes on to say, and they hear thy words. And they do what? What is it that they hear? The whole prophecy. They hear the whole sermon. They hear the whole message that you bring them. Ezekiel, they come. They're going to come faithfully. They're going to come as they've been coming for centuries. They will come to hear the prophet. They will come and sit. They will take their places. They will take their seats and claim that they are my people. And they will come to hear your words. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, Ezekiel. The members of the Joint College of Bishops, they will come. They will come as church folk always come. They will come and sit before thee and claim to be my people, Ezekiel. They will come and sit before thee to hear the words of the prophet. But it will not profit them. I want to say, but they will not do them. They will hear your words. Ezekiel, they will hear your words. Radio Reformer, they will hear your words. They will hear your propositions. They will hear the rebuke of the Lord. They will be told what to do to rectify their situation. They will hear the word of the Lord, but they will not do it. They won't do it. For with their mouth they show much love. Oh, they love me. Oh, they praise me. They give me lip service. Ezekiel, they give me lip service. You know, J. Delano Ellis takes that cross and he says, God forbid that you and I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, what love rolling out of J. Delano Ellis' lips. What love for the Savior. What love, what commitment to Jesus. It's lip service. It is all lips. God's lament is that it is lip service. It's just talk. They come. They come as my people do every week. How many houses of worship in the African American church get jam-packed every week? They come. That's why the churches they have staff that open up the church doors early. Why? Because they know people will come. It's the habit for the people to come. That's verse 31, part A. They come and they will come as the people cometh. And they will sit before thee as my people. They will claim to serve me. They will claim to be my covenant people. And they will hear your words. They will sit there and hear. But they will not do them. I say to you, tell them, Ezekiel, and you say, thus saith the Lord, but they don't do what the Lord says. And with their mouth they show much love. Oh, how they say hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise Yah. Oh, everything out of their mouth is hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But it's lip service, Ezekiel. They don't mean it. Their mouth, they show much love with their mouth. With their lying lips, they show much love. It's classic lip service, Ezekiel. Classic lip service. J. Delano Ellis and his whole bunch of jackass bishops dressed up to the nines in their stupid-looking vestments, carrying their Episcopal rings and their huge pectoral crosses and their pastoral staff and all that junk that they use, all that, and that means nothing. They love me with their mouth. With their mouth, they show me much love. But their hearts goeth after covetousness. But their heart, you see, their lips say one thing, but their heart goeth after covetousness. So, let's go back to proposition number 63, because it says the purchasing of an insignia, such as the gold pectoral cross, makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites. Covered that. Who render Christ lip service. Covered that. Because they lay aside the commandments of God and lay hold of the tradition of men. We've covered that. Because they covet things of this world. That's Ezekiel 33:31. See, the reason why they're all hypocritical and they show me much love with their lips. But really, 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 what they covet, what they desire, what they pant after, what they're in love with, are the things of this world. Ezekiel 33:31 says, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. In other words, their heart goes after what they covet. Now, the interesting thing about the word covet in Hebrew is this. The word covet is the Hebrew word. If you transliterate the Hebrew lettering into English, it's spelled Besa. 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 B-E-S-A. If the word was Spanish, it would mean kiss, kiss, kiss. It's interesting, the word Besa, Besa. It has nothing to do. The Hebrew word has nothing to do with Spanish. I'm not trying to say that it has a Spanish connection. It does not. But in Spanish, besa means to kiss. But the word, the Hebrew word besa, it's a masculine noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. It is a masculine noun denoting profit, gain, dishonest gain, dishonest gain. The word refers to illegal or unjust gain or profit, which God's people were to avoid. The word refers to illegal or unjust gain or profit, which God's people were to avoid. Sometimes this profit is gained by means of violence. You can become a profiteer if you use muscle. If you use violence, you can stick people up, you can mug them, you can beat them down, and then after you've got them beaten and bloodied and they're on the ground, then you can reach into their pockets and grab their wallet. That's one way you can muscle your way to wealth. That's one way of doing it. But in other instances, the word means to gain profits for selfish goals, for selfish goals. So that's how it's used in Ezekiel 33:31. God says in Ezekiel 33:31, this people, with their heart, they go after covetousness. In other words, what is it that the members of the Joint College of Bishops covet most? When they wear all that stuff, when they wear the vestments, when they wear the insignia, when they have the mitre on and they have the pectoral cross and the ring of the bishop and they're sitting in their throne, they're sitting in the bishop's chair and people come up to them and kiss their ring. What is it that they covet? What is it that they seek? Well, they covet fame. See, what are the things of this world? Fame. Fame. With fame comes fortune. They want to be worshipped. J. Delano Ellis tells his bishops, once he ordains them, Remember, leave your right hand free so that the people can come and give you their adulation. Well, what do they covet? They covet to be worshipped. The bishops want to be worshipped. Why else would they stick their hand out? Why else would any rational human being, why else would any rational creature stick their hand out and have other people come and bow before them and kiss their ring unless they were coveting fame, fortune, and power? That's what they covet. They covet to be somebody. But they want to be somebody according to the world. They don't want to be somebody according to Christ. Jesus said, he who wants to be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. But in J. Delano Ellis II's mind, the way you become the greatest of all is you get yourself an Episcopal throne. You get elevated. You get to wear all these outfits. You get to wear all of this costume jewelry. You get to sit up there like a king and then have people come and bow before you. The way you become somebody is by creating an institution, which is bogus, because the Joint College of African American Bishops is a bogus institution with bogus apostolic succession. But you see, they have to create the fairy tale because they want to be somebody according to worldly standards. Here, let me read to you. On page number 55, look what Mr. J. Delano Ellis says. Grooming standards are vital if we are to maintain credibility among our people and in the world community. Who gives a hoot about the world community? Who gives a hoot about having credibility with the world? Jesus didn't have credibility with the world. The world hated Jesus. But you see, that's what J. Delano Ellis covets. Let me read this to you again. Grooming standards are vital if we are to maintain credibility among our people and in the world community. Who cares about, you think John the Baptist cared about what the world thought about him? You think Paul sat up in his prison cell in Rome and was thinking, well, what does the world think about me? I'm in jail. What is the world? Did I lose my credibility in the world? But you see, J. Delano Ellis wants credibility, and he wants it with the world. He wants it in the church. He wants to be famous in the church. That's why he has the title Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. I mean, that's his title. He goes, my title as Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. I mean, that's what the guy wanted all along when he established his joint college. He wanted to be the head honcho. He wanted to be the chief consecrator. Well, he achieved that. But that's what God said to the prophet Ezekiel. He said, that's what people who render me lip service do. They covet things in their heart, and these things are worldly. My brothers and sisters, let me read to you out of the book of Hebrews. Speaking of the heroes of the faith. It says in verse 37, I'm not reading the whole catalog, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37, it says of the heroes of the faith, it says of them, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, not in vestments. They didn't wander around in mitres, dressed in mitres and in pantyhose and in slippers. No, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute. Not having a 40-inch gold chain with a huge pectoral cross with an encrusted stone in it. No, it says they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, Mr. Ellis, afflicted and tormented. Of whom? Of whom, Mr. Ellis, the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. That's where the heroes of the faith wandered, Mr. Ellis. They lived in caves. They were hunted. Mr. Ellis wants to be enthroned. Mr. Ellis wants to be dressed like a king. Mr. Ellis wants to wear the faggot wear of the old Roman Empire. The same faggot wear that Jesus said, did John the Baptist have on faggot wear? When you went to see John the Baptist in the wilderness, when you saw him baptizing, did you see John the Baptist having on faggot wear? Read it in the Greek. Did he have on soft raiment? The word soft there is the Greek word used for effeminate men. For the homosexual who likes to play the role of the woman, there are some homosexuals who like to play the role of the man, and there are other homosexuals who like to play the role of the woman. Jesus said, when you went to go see John, did he have effeminate wear on? Did he have soft raiment? Did he have the clothes that faggots and queers wear? No. He was a man's man. But Mr. J. Delano Ellis, in keeping with what? In keeping with the world and wanting this status that he covets, along with the rest of the asinine men and women in his group, as God said to Ezekiel, they covet the things in their heart. What is it that they covet? Prestige. They covet prestige. They want to be honored. As Mr. J. Delano Ellis writes here on page number 55, grooming standards are vital if we are to maintain credibility among our people and in the world community. Well, the heroes of the faith, the world was not worthy of them. But here is Mr. J. Delano Ellis wanting to be embraced by the world, the very world that crucified his Savior. Jesus said, the world will hate you because it hated me. But Mr. Ellis wants credibility. He covets credibility. He wants to be renowned. He wants to be famous. He wants to wear the robes and the vestments of kings and potentates. And he wants to wear their jewelry. He wants to parade about. That's what he covets. And God said to Ezekiel, these people love me with their mouth, but with their hearts, they covet the things of the world. They, in the Hebrew, they besa. That's why J. Delano Ellis puts on all this junk and would have those who follow him put on all the junk. But God would have us not love the world. God would have us not love the world. Not love the world. Not love the world, Mr. J. Delano Ellis. God would not have us love the world. In the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what God said in Ezekiel 33:31. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Oh, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, how many people are you leading back to Rome and leading back to the lake of fire, Mr. Ellis? I would encourage you, sir, to repent. And lead these people back out of Rome. You led them into Rome, lead them out of Rome. Or your judgment and punishment will be severe. That does it for today, saints. Love you in Jesus. We'll be back tomorrow with proposition number 64. And I encourage you not to render Jesus lip service. I encourage you to don't be like those people who love to come to church. They love to sit in church. They love to listen, but they fail to do. They love much with their mouths, but they have no desire to please God. That's the Joint College of African American Bishops. And to you I say, depart from those workers of iniquity. Depart now. Come out of her, my people, as God would say to us in Revelation 18:4. Come out, because God is about to judge her. Come out of her, for her sins have reached heaven. And God has taken note, and God is about to judge her. And the God who judges her is strong and mighty. God bless.
Almighty fortress.